We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Well, all righty, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program and the TV side of it at YouTube, on the YouTube streaming network, the South Point streaming network at YouTube, to be exact, and, of course, our streaming there. And we come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our South Point studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in Las Vegas. We welcome you to the show. And, of course, all of those listening to us on the radio here on our anchor radio station here in Las Vegas, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And, of course, all of your websites that we have, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone with your apps. If you get your YouTube app, you can also see us and hear us on the YouTube app. And, of course, if you're listening to us, you can do it through the KSHP app as well on your phones and anywhere, your devices, I should say. Does anybody use it as a phone anymore? On your devices and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the Race Day Show. Yes, Virginia Racing, there is racing after the Kentucky Derby. But, boy, I'm sure everybody needed a little bit of rejuvenating rest over Monday and Tuesday. We come back to you looking ahead now to the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes at Pimlico Racecourse in Maryland. Of course, as you can see, it's 10 days away and counting. And at this time of the year, right after the Kentucky Derby, everybody is always sitting thinking, can this horse win the Triple Crown? Because the only horse that has a possibility of winning the Triple Crown is the horse who won the Kentucky Derby. Because you have to win the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont to be a Triple Crown winner, the highest achievement, at least it has been, the highest achievement in horse racing, as far as racing is concerned. Well, we know that Sovereignty won the Kentucky Derby, beating Journalism and Baeza. And right after the race, when the question was posed to Bill Mott and the Godolphin Racing folks, they were hesitant about saying automatically they were going to the Preakness Stakes. And as the sun set on Saturday, as Sunday morning came, and all of the horses that ran in the Derby came out of the race just fine, we started pondering when they were going to make the decision. And they said they would make the decision in a couple of days. Well, that decision came on the 2 days off that we have here on the Race Day show. And as of this morning, Wednesday, the official announcement was made, and it came out of the publicity department at the Pimlico Racecourse, the home of the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, that Sovereignty will not be running in the Preakness Stakes. Bill Mott and the ownership decided to give the horse a five-week break between the Kentucky Derby and his next start, which will be in the Belmont Stakes. So there will be no Triple Crown winner this year, not by the fact that the horse got beat, but by the fact that he won't participate in the second jewel of the Triple Crown. A lot of people in racing, of course, are kind of disappointed. They wanted to see, especially the way Sovereignty won with authority, I thought, in the Kentucky Derby. But Bill Mott has always been a trainer that puts his horse first. And his thoughts are that it would be too soon to come back in 2 weeks to run Sovereignty in the Preakness Stakes at his highest performance level. And in looking after the horse as he does, and Godolphin, a worldwide concern that is big breeders and owners, and decided that the Triple Crown this year was not on their plate. And so Sovereignty will not run in the Preakness. Unless, of course, you got 10 days to go and the pressure builds up for them from outside sources. But trust me when I tell you, Bill Mott will not be swayed by outside sources. He is a trainer that just his horse is primary to him. And that's the way it should be. Although we're disappointed that we won't be able to see a chance at the Triple Crown this year, we will look ahead to the Preakness Stakes as a race that will be now competitive as well, because I think that the Kentucky Derby field was a darn good field of three-year-olds this year. I'm telling you, these three-year-olds are going to be nice later on in the year competing in races like the Haskell and the Travers and the Super Derby, etc., going into the fall when they start competing against the older class horses in the handicap division. So looking ahead, we have a lot to look forward to. But now the Preakness Stakes becomes a very competitive and wide open event, so much so, now without Sovereignty in the race, we wonder just who might be in the race. Well, taking a look at the Preakness field now, the possibilities, the probabilities include River Thames, who is trained by Todd Pletcher, finished third in his last start in the Bluegrass Stakes. We have Rodriguez, who was scratched from the Kentucky Derby because of that quarter crack, expected to be fully healed and going into the second jewel of the Triple Crown for Bob Baffert. This, of course, was the winner of the Wood Memorial. Clever, again, is a new shooter. This one will come in for Steve Asmussen, and he's the son of American Pharoah, who was a Triple Crown winner, as you know. This horse won the Hot Spring Stakes in a very abbreviated career and now gets an acid test, really, for the Preakness, but Steve Asmussen thinks the horse is up for it. A new shooter and clever again. Then you have A Heart of Honor, who was second in the UAE Derby in Dubai. You have the second-place finisher in the Kentucky Derby, Journalism, who Michael McCarthy said will go back into the Preakness Stakes. However, it's still a possibility. We don't know the official decision there. Of course, Sovereignty is out. He goes next in the Belmont. Sandman, who finished a disappointing seventh after being bet down throughout the entire betting cycle of the Kentucky Derby. Sandman is pointed there for Mark Cassie. Gosger, of course, won the Lexington Stakes, if you remember, for Brendan Walsh. Did not run in the Kentucky Derby, obviously. Caldera, who was a second in the Bathhouse Row Stakes at Oaklawn, trained by the coach, Dwayne Lucas. And Pay Billy, who won the Federico Tessio Stakes at Pimlico. Of course, the Federico Tessio Stakes was a prep for the Preakness Stakes. And by winning the Federico Tessio, he gets an automatic bid into the Preakness Stakes. So those are the horses right now. But as we move closer, we've got 10 days yet to go to the Preakness Stakes. As we move closer, there'll be other trainers with other three-year-olds who will take a notion to try the Preakness Stakes. There are probably some out there weighing that situation right now. But at the moment, that's the way the Preakness Stakes looks. Now, as far as the Kentucky Derby, and a recap of that, this Kentucky Derby this year was the most watched Kentucky Derby since 1989 with 21.8 million viewers, the best ever since it's been on NBC Network. The attendance at the racetrack was 147,406, which I got to tell you was really unbelievable since it was raining there for most of the day before and morning of and during the Kentucky Derby Day racing. So the attendance was big, 147,406. And Godolphin Racing, the ownership of Godolphin Racing, did what the trainer Kenny McPeak did last year. They won the Kentucky Oaks the day before and came back with the Kentucky Derby, garnering a Oaks Derby double for the Godolphin. And Godolphin, a worldwide major ownership and all over the country with top horses and breeding. The Kentucky Derby had eluded them for many years, but they got their Derby on Saturday. And so that is kind of like a rerun of what happened on Saturday. And, of course, the horses that are heading on to the Preakness Stakes. And we'll have more. We'll be counting it down to the Preakness, even though the Triple Crown is no longer on the line. What the Preakness will do, however, is create a rubber match in the Belmont Stakes with Sovereignty, and who, if Journalism should go and win the Preakness Stakes, then you have that rubber match between those two in the final, the Belmont Stakes, which this year, again, as it was last year, will be run at Saratoga Racecourse at the distance of a mile and a quarter. So we'll wait and see about that. And Pimlico Racecourse, by the way, will open on Friday for its brief meet leading up to the Preakness Stakes. Laurel closed over the weekend, so Pimlico gets underway on Friday. Oaklawn Park, of course, as you know, closed on the weekend. And while Oaklawn Park is off, Monmouth Park, from the shores of New Jersey, Monmouth Park will open its meet that goes through the summertime on Saturday as well. Now, as far as Oaklawn Park was concerned, they conducted 621 races over the season, distributed over $56 million in purses. And with an average of 10 races per day, it delivered a strong competitive racing season. The average field size on all the races at Oaklawn, the average field size were 9.32 starters per race. And that is really an accomplishment there. The average daily handle reached over $6.7 million. The total meet handle over $417.7 million. And it was a very, very good 2,030 horses, individual horses, 2,030 individual horses made at least one start at the track, contributing to 5,788 total starts. And 80 jockeys were in the jocks room. and 186 trainers competed at the Oaklawn Park season. So you can see that that was really the place to be over the wintertime, even with the bad weather there. Steve Asmussen, Hall of Famer, secured his record extending 14th Oaklawn training title with 46 race wins and earnings of over almost $5.5 million. Francisco Arrieta won his second Oaklawn riding title and his first outright one. Remember, he tied his last one. He won 65 races and earned over $5 million in purses. There were a record 13 trainers that earned over $1 million in purses at the track, and it overall was just a fantastic, successful season at Oaklawn Park. All right, well, we have our handicappers today. Jonathan Hardoon will be with us. Of course, it's Wednesday. That means Dwayne Carlucci will be with us, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J. Now, since there are only four racetracks on the betting menu, most of our handicappers will be giving us their thoughts about wrapping up the Kentucky Derby and looking ahead as well. Rich Eng does have a pick for us. He'll be along. And, of course, we'll have that brief racing menu for you as well. All that starts after our first break, and we'll do that first break right now. Don't forget, if you go to YouTube, subscribe. The subscription, the chatters were going crazy over the weekend and during this Kentucky Derby special show. We hope you're back with us today, chatting away. What do you think about the Preakness Stakes? Well, that's on the YouTube streaming network, the Race Day chat box. If you haven't subscribed already, good time to do it. Do it now and get chatting. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
On Race Day Las Vegas, and now it's time to get started with your racing menu. Before we take a look at that, of course, we'll let you know what the weather is like. 57 degrees right now here in Las Vegas. It's drizzling a little bit out there, but they say it'll be all gone by 10, 11 o'clock this morning, and then we're going to get up to 79 degrees, and it's going to get warmer and sunnier and brighter throughout the week here in Las Vegas. As far as the country is concerned, Miami is 83 degrees. Tampa, Florida today. Tampa Bay is going to be 90 degrees. New York City is going to have a pleasant 75 with a little clouds. Chicago, 69 degrees with a little clouds there. And, of course, Phoenix, Arizona, 84 degrees with rain. The rain cell that passed through here in Las Vegas, we had a lot of rain on Monday and Tuesday. It passed through here in Vegas, is now making its way over the area of Phoenix, Arizona. Los Angeles, 73 degrees and partly cloudy. And here in Las Vegas, as we move away from the rain this morning, as I said, it'll get up to be about 79 degrees today, topping out there. And that little cell just will continue to move over. A lot of rain over New Mexico and Nebraska. Got some rain along the coast of the Gulf of America down there, Louisiana, Texas, etc. And for the most part, not too bad, just a couple of cells over upstate New York, etc. But for the most part, it looks like it's going to be pretty clear, at least for the brief tracks that we have on the menu for today. And we will start out with our racing menu with just four racetracks on it. We begin with Parks Racing. Parks Racing has a pick five jackpot carryover today of $140,635. All right. And the first post time for the 10 races at Parks Racing set at 9:40. 9:40 at Parks Racing. We go then next to Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has a first post time 11:10 with 9 races on tap there. And then following that, we'll go to Penn National. Penn National has a first post time at Penn Nat of 2:45 for 7 races. And then we wrap it up, the 4 tracks today, with Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs has 8 races, and their first post time is at 3:30 this afternoon. A very brief menu of racetracks this afternoon. And so it goes. Those are the racetracks for today. Taking a look at, let me bring in Jonathan Ardoon right now. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. Have you recovered?
I have, and I'd like to thank you publicly on the air, along with South Point Steve and all the other guys, for a terrific Derby weekend. It was a lot of fun, and actually had some success for a change, so all good.
Yes, thank it was you. All good. You guys did a yeoman's job. You knocked it out of the park. You and John Lendo and all the other handicappers on the special show did a great job in honing in on not only the winner of the Kentucky Derby, but certainly some winners across the card on Friday and Saturday at Churchill Downs, providing us with opportunities of hitting the pick fours and pick fives there as well. Well, you know, it's getting crazy with these future books. They did have a parimutuel future book for the Preakness Stakes, and when it finally closed, the future book is finally closed now for the Preakness Stakes. Journalism, who finished second in the Kentucky Derby, is the favorite at 5-1. Rodriguez is 11-1. Baeza is 14. Sandman is 14. American Promise, who finished 16th in the Kentucky Derby, is 15. Clever, again, this is the new shooter, the winner of the Hot Springs race at Oaklawn Park. He's 15-1, so people think he's got a little bit to him. And, of course, Citizen Bull Sovereignty does not look like they'll be going. And all other three-year-olds, besides the ones that I mentioned, 22-1. And for the horses that are intending on going, River Thames is 28-1, and Caldera is 24-1. For the futures there, so yeah.
We know Baez is not going, and I sincerely doubt that Journalism is going. I mean, you know,
do you really win? You think he's going to pass?
There's no point to run these horses back on 2 weeks. You're going to only fry them. What's the point? And by the way, the X yesterday or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that it was blowing up. The whole world was pissed off at Bill Mott for not running. Uh-huh. And then why are they pissed off at Bill Mott? It's his horse. He trains the horse. He's responsible for the horse. He knows the horse better than anyone else. Why should he run back if he doesn't want to run back? Not only that, Ralph, in the last 5 years, Bill Mott started 58 horses with 14 days or less rest. Guess how many he won out of the 58 races? 10, 11, take a guess.
Okay, I'll say 6.
3. Oh. 3. 3 out of over the last 5 years, 3 out of 58 starters have run on 14 days or less. And to be honest with you, I was shocked when I saw that he actually had 58 starters. I know it's over 5 years, so I guess it comes out to about 10 starts a year.
Could you do me a favor? Because I'm doing a little production here. Could you tilt your camera down a little? Because your mouth looks like you're chewing on the on the graphics at the bottom of the show. There you go. That's better.
Is that better? Okay,
yes, good. Absolutely, it's better. So what you're saying is that, and I believe is so, and I believe is right, that Bill Mott and McCarthy are going to do the best for their horse.
Absolutely. And not only that, they have a whole year ahead of them. These are terrific horses. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to squeeze them and fry them and where they're finished. You know, they have a long year ahead of them. And again, you said it, Ralph, this is a terrific crop. There are 3, 4, 5 of them that are really, really good. And, you know, I would, if Mott says don't run, don't run. Believe me, he knows. And I'm sure there's nothing they would rather do than win a Triple Crown and keep it going for the interest of the game and everything else. But if he's doing this, then that's what he's doing.
Let me ask you this.
And not only that, Ralph, one other thing. Sure. You know, if he ended up winning the Triple Crown, there'd be an asterisk anyway, because the third leg, which will be run at Saratoga, is only going to be a mile and a quarter. So it's not a real mile and a half. So they'll say it's not a real Triple Crown. And, you know, why run?
Yeah, I guess you get all pertinent points there. And I guess that mostly that we're looking at the health and the best for the horses. And that's, and like you said, like I said earlier, too, this is a hell of a crop. And I think they're going to be a very, you know, potent towards the end of the year, especially when they start mixing it up with the older horses. So we got a lot to look ahead to. That's for sure. Even after the Triple Crown. Out of all the big stakes races over the weekend at Churchill Downs and, well, even at places like Oaklawn Park, who do you think got the best, the highest buyer speed figure out of all the races that happened this weekend?
So you're going to tell, obviously, by the question, it wasn't the Derby.
Yes, you're correct.
Copian.
Cope, you're very close. The winner of the Lake Hamilton at Oaklawn, Skelly, ran 110 buyer, but the Copian ran 109 buyer. So you were really close. He was the highest buyer figure at Churchill Downs in all those big races. And as far as Sovereignty in the Kentucky Derby, he ran a 104. Other horses that ran over 100 buyer included Patches O'Houlihan at Woodbine at 107, Fierceness in the Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs with a 107, and you've got Touch Upon a Star at Evangeline Downs in the Evangeline Classic that ran a 102. So there was a variation all over the country, but those were some of the top speed figures.
By the way, Skelly is trained by Asmussen.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have swapped that, the 109 or whatever it was, for that, for a horse to run that, one of his horses to run that in the Derby.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, one of these days, he's got to have one, you know, sooner or later, got to have one. And wasn't this
year. They're going to need a Japanese winner. They're going to need a Japanese winner, and they're going to need a Steve Asmussen winner. So maybe he should train a Japanese horse and get it over
kill two birds with one stone, I guess, huh?
By the way, Ralph, one last thing before I go. All those people that are looking to change the Triple Crown rules, that's ridiculous. It's supposed to be hard. Don't start changing the rules and giving them 3 weeks between races or 4 weeks between races. That's not the Triple Crown. Listen, Secretariat Seattle Slew Affirmed won the Triple Crown in the 70s. It took all the way to 2015. For American Pharoah to win it. So obviously it's not an easy thing to do. And when you do it, it's quite an accomplishment. So if you water it down, you're going to gain nothing by doing that. They think it's going to pique the interest. I don't believe that. It's just the way of the game, and they should never even consider changing it.
I can't say anything more than you said, because I believe that 100% as well. Leave it alone, because that'll diminish the accomplishments of the Triple Crown winners that have won it before, when it was the hard thing to do, when you got an easier way to doing it and horses start winning it with some sense of regularity. You don't want that. And we understand that this year that we won't have one, and that's okay too, because there are other horses out there. If you look at the history of the Kentucky Derby, there are other Kentucky Derby winners that did not participate in the Preakness for one reason or another when they had a chance at winning the Triple Crown. So that's good. And the Preakness itself, and that day of racing there on Preakness Day, 1 week from Saturday, and the day before when they run the Black Eyed Susans, 1 week from Friday, are going to be great races anyhow, because there's a whole lot of stakes races on those cards, just like the Kentucky Derby. So we won't be missing anything. As a matter of fact, we're still waiting to see if maybe Fierceness or some of those great winners over the weekend at Churchill Downs might entertain coming back in one of their races for their division over that weekend for the Preakness as well. But it's going to be a great, I believe it's going to be a great race anyhow. And the intrigue of Steve Asmussen bringing in a new shooter there is going to have a lot of interest.
It's probably going to be a better betting race if you're looking to gamble, because if Sovereignty was in the race, obviously he would have been the big favorite, and he would have been rightfully so. But now it certainly opens the race up. And, you know, I don't see Journalism showing up, and we know Baez is not showing up. So these are going to be a whole new group of horses for the most part. I think Lucas is the only one that actually committed already to run back. Mm-hmm. He never misses a dance, and at his age, why take any chances? You might as well run, and he's running his horse back. He did have some trouble in that race, in the Derby, so, you know, I guess he's got a little bit of an excuse, but let's see what happens. And the big show is going to be in Saratoga for the Belmont, because these horses probably are not going to come back in 2 weeks. The Fiercenesses and all those other horses, 5 weeks makes a lot more sense for them, and that's going to be up in Saratoga.
Oh, that'll be a banner. That'll be a blockbuster weekend when you get to the Belmont Stakes, especially in the with the background and at Saratoga as well. That's always special, Saratoga. Dwayne Lucas's horse, American Promise, has committed to go. He was 16th in the Kentucky Derby, but like you said, he got a little banged around a little bit, so we'll wait and see there. Well, Jonathan, I know one thing, you don't have a pick today because there's only four tracks, none of the tracks that you do. And if you're, one final thought, if you're done with your sandbox, we'll let you go. Your soapbox,
that's
I
it.
Should say. Your sandbox and soapbox.
All done for today, Ralph. Tomorrow we have Aqueduct and Churchill. Churchill night card tomorrow, I guess 5 o'clock East Coast time. So we'll be back with selections tomorrow. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, all I can say is we're happy that you made it back safe and sound back to the homestead there. And it was always fun and a great pleasure to have you along here with the other handicappers as well. So people can see you on the set for a change. That's for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
Okay. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to not going to go to our next break. We're going to go right to Dwayne Colucci standing by from the Rampart. And, Dwayne, I got to ask you the same question I asked everybody here. The 2 days off that we had after that blockbuster weekend of the Kentucky Derby, especially here in Las Vegas, have you recovered?
No, I'm still recovering, actually, Ralph. We were so busy. It was one of the best handled Kentucky Derbies that I can remember in a long time. And the race gave us everything that we anticipated. And it was just such a great time. And all the seminars before, joining you and the boys, it was just a lot of fun and always a pleasure to deal with the surroundings of the Kentucky Derby. You know, I get excited because it's my favorite time of the year, that and Breeders' Cup. So it was just awesome, Ralph.
Dwayne, let me ask you this. Now, looking back at the Kentucky Derby, your assessment of the race?
Yeah, I thought it was a great race. I thought the top three finishers are definitely three horses that we're going to have on our table for quite a long time. And it's exciting to be a part of that, you know, and just a tremendous Sovereignty was amazing. I mean, the effort was just tremendous. Junior Alvarado and the feel good story and, you know, touching upon what you guys were just talking about, possibly Saratoga could have been influencing the decision making because the Belmont Stakes is not a mile and a half. And, you know, why risk it if there could be a possible asterisk or, you know, something attached if this horse did end up winning the Triple Crown? And, you know, I understand Belmont and the safety. And, you know, it's a little shocking from the Godolphin side, but they're doing the right thing for the horse. And if they feel that the horse can't come back in 2 weeks and then three after that, hey, more power to them. But it was a fabulous, fabulous race. I think Baez ran a great race. I mean, the trip that horse had to almost finish second was just an incredible effort by Flavian Pratt and all there with the sheriff's horse. And the favorite ran his race. You heard Rispoli. He said, you know, the horse just he ran perfect. It was just second best. And, you know, he maneuvered him very well. He navigated a perfect trip. Got kicked a little mud in his face early on, and the horse reacted, but, you know, just a great all-around Kentucky Derby. Why we love this sport so much.
Well, all I can say is that I think this is going to be a pretty good class of three-year-olds, don't you?
Yeah, without a doubt, Ralph. I think this is one of the best that we've had in recent years, and it's going to be great to see if Sovereignty and Baeza Journalism can match strides with the Sierra Leones and, like you said, the fierceness at shorter distances, all these great horses that we have out there now ready to compete on the big stage at Del Mar in November and October. It's going to be fabulous. Just a great horse racing season ahead.
Well, we do have racing, and we continue with looking ahead now to the Preakness Stakes, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. A little bit of the luster came off with the fact that we won't have a Triple Crown winner this year, but we're looking ahead. It's kind of our investment not to have the Triple Crown winner to watch this class of three-year-olds really compete throughout the year in a high level, that's for sure. But I know, Duane, that you're looking at the already prospective field in the Preakness Stakes, and we'll wait and see. The final decision on Journalism hasn't been done yet, but like Jonathan said, he thinks that Mike McCarthy will lean the same way as Bill Mott with the Sovereignty.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent if they all run at Saratoga. I'll be honest with you. That's going to be a tremendous 3 or 4 day meet that they're going to have there for the Belmont Stakes. And you know Saratoga knows how to do it, Ralph. I'm really anticipating that. And you're going to see several of those horses on center stage that weekend. And it's just going to be really, I think it would be a smart decision by Mike McCarthy. And I think it's predetermined, like you said. I really think he's going to go the route of Sovereignty. Baeza already said he'll be at Saratoga, so if the three could ever clash again, that'd be really, really exciting, especially on the center stage at the Spa, one of the greatest race meets in the United States, if not the best. We know that. So having that earlier on in June is just going to be tremendous and tremendous handle and action. So yeah, I think McCarthy will skip like Bill Mott did.
And although that, you know, at Saratoga, they say if you don't like the weather, stick around 10 minutes, it'll change. Hopefully that in June rather than in August, maybe the June weather is a little bit more stable and we'll get a nice, sunny, fast day of racing, a fast track for the Belmont there as well. But, you know, horse players love to play horses, and today is another day of racing. So, Duane, you got a pick for our players out there?
Yeah, definitely. I have a pick at Horseshoe Indianapolis, Ralph. I'm going with the 9 Palm Desert in the 7th race at Horseshoe. It's a Riley Mott horse coming from Gulfstream. This is a maiden race, so every horse is basically lightly raced. He draws outside of the Brendan Walsh horse, and 6-1 I think is a huge price. I don't think you'll see that if this horse makes it to the post. Keep your eye on the weather at Horseshoe as well. You know, they've been on and off with the rain on and off the turf as well. But race 7 at Horseshoe Indy, Palm Desert, Alex Achard, Riley Mott. I think this horse could easily get the job done if he duplicates his last race at Gulfstream. It is a surface change, but I know Riley Mott, you know, he learned from the best. So definitely he's going to bring the pistol loaded with this horse. I don't think we'll get 6-1, but I'm hoping. This is definitely a nice price, Ralph. So let's go with the 9 horse Palm Desert in race 7 at Horseshoe Indianapolis today.
Well, as you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and Riley Mott training, your selection there, Palm Desert, the 9 horse in the 7th race, Palm Desert, 6-1 on the morning line. There's only one scratch so far in that race. It comes in the 5 horse, Spinning Glory. Number 5, Spinning Glory, is out. So we still have 9 to go in that race, and you like number 9 in the 7th race at Horseshoe Indianapolis. And thanks a lot, Duane, and I know that the race book at your place will still be hopping with regulars.
Yeah, definitely, Ralph. We're leading up to the Preakness and into the Belmont. Definitely an exciting portion of the season. And then we slide right into the great Saratoga at Del Mar meets. It's all about horse racing at the Rampart. Thank you again for all my patrons. What a turnout. I just couldn't believe it, Ralph. Yeah. We were packed to the gills.
Yeah, we
were. Thank you so much. Yeah. You're a big part of that, too.
Well, thank you, my man. And so are you and all the other contributors on this show. We just try to help the players as much as we can. And we'll keep on doing it as long as they want it. Thanks a lot, Duane. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ralph. I really appreciate you.
All right. You got it, my man. And we will be back. And when we come back, we got Rich Eng standing by with his afterthoughts of the Kentucky Derby and looking ahead to the Preakness as well. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, looking ahead to this weekend. Belmont at Aqueduct got five stakes races on Saturday, two grade twos, two grade threes, and another one. And of the five stakes races, the Peter Pan Stakes, which is the traditional stepping stone, the prep race for the Belmont Stakes in New York. The Peter Pan is the Belmont Stakes prep in New York. That'll happen on Saturday, and it has a full field there. So we'll wait and see if maybe somebody out of the Peter Pan might try the Belmont, the third jewel of the Triple Crown. Gulfstream Park has a couple of stakes races. Churchill Downs will kick in with a grade three. And, of course, it's opening weekend at Monmouth. They'll have a stakes race as well as Santa Anita on Saturday. Monmouth and Santa Anita come back with additional stakes races on Sunday. Now let's go out to Rich Ang standing by. Richie, good morning. Have you recovered, my man?
Yes, I have recovered. It was a great Friday, a great Saturday. It was great seeing all of you guys afterwards in the post-Kentucky Derby soiree. That was a fun gathering. And, yeah, I've rested up, Ralph.
All righty. Well, I guess I could ask you on behalf of the players. I know that you had a special edition for the Kentucky Derby because that's the most famous horse race in America. Is Daily Racing Form doing anything different for the upcoming Preakness, or will it be just business as usual?
I'm pretty sure it's business as usual. Last year we did not have a Preakness advance or a Belmont Stakes advance, so I'm pretty sure we're not going to do it, Ralph.
Okay, good. So we'll just keep on track for that. You're reflecting back now with a couple of days about the Derby and the weekend.
Well, I heard you and Jonathan and Dwayne talking about it, and I just want to relate a quick anecdote going back to when I started in horse racing, Ralph, in June of 1979. I was hired 1 week before the Triple Crown attempt by Spectacular Bid in the Belmont Stakes, and I remember working in the Belmont Park press box, Ralph, and the number one theme of what sports writers were writing at that Belmont Stakes in 1979 was, is the Triple Crown too easy to win? Because if you remember that decade of the 70s,
sure,
you had Secretariat, mm-hmm, you had Affirmed, and you had Seattle Slough, and here you had a dominant-looking horse, Spectacular Bid, looking like he would be the fourth Triple Crown horse of the decade. People, sports writers were saying, oh, this is too easy. And, of course, they put like a curse on the Triple Crown. Yeah. We never saw another Triple Crown winner until American Pharoah, but it was like 40 or 50 years later.
And you're right in the fact that there are many ways in losing the Triple Crown besides just performance on the racetrack. If you remember Spectacular Bid, they said stepped on a pin, a safety pin in his stall that morning, and that had a little bit of an effect of his performance in the Belmont Stakes. We'll never know one way or the other if that was true, but a lot of ways of losing, only one way of winning, that's for sure. And so without a Triple Crown on tap this year, because of obviously the considerations of the horse's health being first, it'll still be a competitive race, I think.
Well, you know, going back to that pin in the hope for spectacular bid, one of the funniest lines I read in the aftermath when trainer Bud Delp used that as an excuse, saying that spectacular bid had a safety pin in his hoof.
Yeah.
Some horse racing writer I read said, well, the only pin involved might have been the pinhead jockey, Ronnie Franklin. And the ride that he gave Spectacular Bid in that Belmont Stakes.
Yeah.
If you remember, he went head and head with like a 60-to-1 shot called Gallant Best the early part of the race, and then he ran out of gas in the final furlong.
Yes, he did. That was a questionable ride for sure. And Ronnie Franklin at the time was a very young rider that probably got caught up in the all of the hoopla of the Triple Crown. And so it goes. But Bud Delp always said that Spectacular Bid he thought was the best horse that ever put on a bridle.
He might have been right. What a career he had at age four. I think you saw his races out in Southern California.
Yeah, they finally replaced Franklin with Bill Shoemaker. And I don't think the horse ever lost a race after that with Shoemaker on it. Could be wrong, but I think certainly he made that. He made a bigger difference on Spectacular Bid. Looking ahead to this year, and of course the Preakness Stakes, we'll be waiting as the field starts to materialize. And for now, though, Richie, horse players are horse players, and we need a pick for today.
Yeah, I finally cracked the glacial ice of my handicapping with the Mrs. Astor on Sunday, and here's a horse that, again, I think is going to be a single in the early pick five at Horseshoe Indianapolis, Ralph. Race number three. I like the number two horse, Win Me Over, 9-5 in the morning line. I still like the angle of when horses will win a race and run a slower buyer speed figure. This horse won and ran a 73. The race before, the horse had run an 87 buyer. If that horse runs to the race two back, they're not catching them. Let's go with the two. Win Me Over, race two. Race three.
Third race at Horseshoe Indianapolis, number two, Win Me Over. Hope he does. The two, Win Me Over, in the third race at Horseshoe Indianapolis, Rich Ang's play. And, of course, Richie, we're back to business tomorrow on the Race Day Show with, of course, you will be doing the Santa Anita Handicap, and your sheet will be available on Friday. Thanks a lot, Rich.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good luck, everybody.
One final quick break, and then on to John Lindo in Southern California and Jerry Jackowitz. Don't go away.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back to put a capper on today, Wednesday show, as we move ahead covering another week of racing Las Vegas style. We now go to Southern California, where John Lindo is back in his office. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Glad we were so happy to have you here this weekend, and glad to see that you made it back nice and safe.
Everything went well. Had a good time out there, as always. A great crowd at the South Point, not only on Derby Saturday, but all week. So we had a good time out there.
Let me ask you this, because we had a question on the chat box. And that Bill on the chat box said that Jeremy Plonk, who is also covers horse racing as a publicist and a reporter, asks, does the meds given a horse after a race to aid in their recovery of that race, such as Butte, the reason that horses can't or might not run back in 2 weeks?
No, there's so little medication now given to these horses, and there's no Lasix in the Kentucky Derby. Lasix is a diuretic that takes liquid out of the system. That takes a little bit of time to kind of reboot those liquids back in the horse's system, but you're not racing with that in the Derby. The medication rules are not a detriment to running back in 2 weeks.
Okay, so there's the answer, Jeremy, in case you were wondering, and certainly Bill posting that on behalf of Jeremy Plunk. In any case, a quick afterthought of anything this week in the Derby.
Tremendous race, and unlike the last few years where you had Country House, who never won a race again, didn't race again.
Mm-hmm.
Mage never came back to win another race. Rich Strike never won another race, and Mystic Dan ran well at Oaklawn last weekend, yeah, but he still has not won a race after the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I expect these horses to do pretty well. The top three horses here are good three-year-olds. Sovereignty, barring any injury, he's going to come back and do some good, not only this year, but hopefully if he stays in training next year, he ought to be a fantastic four-year-old. So I think these are good horses, and we'll see where it leads. But right now, it's a good crop.
I think you're right. I think this is an exceptional crop of three-year-olds, and it's going to be really nice to see them mix with the older handicap horses towards the end of the year leading up to the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, some key three-year-old races yet to go exclusively for three-year-olds after the Belmont, like the Travers and the Haskell, etc. So we got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. John, you'll be back with your Lindo report. What's it look like this week?
Got Churchill Downs for tomorrow because they have an evening card there that starts at 2 o'clock our time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll go Santa Anita. And then the Santa Anita cards are light this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'll do a little bit on that stakes card as well at Belmont at Aqueduct. And we'll also take a look at Churchill Downs, see what they have Saturday. And right now, Sunday at Santa Anita. But as I go along and look through these things, I'm a horse player. I'm looking where I want to play, and if I've got opinions, I'll put it together there for the South Point.
Fantastic, John. Thanks so much. I know you're always looking out for the horse players, and any and all of the Lindo reports, no matter where they're at this week, will be here at the South Point free of charge for the horse players each and every day. Hey, thanks a lot, John. You can get back to finishing the honey-do list, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ralph, I got one quick thing about the Preakness.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, right now the state of Maryland runs racing at Pimlico.
Mm-hmm.
But the rights for the Preakness are still owned by First Racing for the next few years.
Yeah.
Do you think with what's going on with that decoupling bill and what they're trying to do to Florida racing, that the horsemen don't feel there's any priority or absolute responsibility to have to run back in the Preakness because of who's running the show there?
Well, that's a good question to be pondering, that's for sure. And maybe we'll do that and see if we can get some feedback on that in later shows, that's for sure. But that's a good point. Thanks a lot, John.
You got it, Ralph.
All right. Now let's go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Now, your thoughts about the Derby and the aftermath.
Well, you know, I thought it was well run. And I thought it was certainly of good quality.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereignty ran a 78.5 on my sheet. That's the speed figure he earned on my speed figures. And that's very, very decent for the Kentucky Derby. Usually it's 77 or higher. Mm-hmm. Seldom does it get as high as 80. So it's right in the range of good, really good racing. Mm-hmm. And I love the movie made. The horse I'm most impressed with, I don't want to talk about journalism too, but the horse I'm most impressed with was really Baeza, who... Mm-hmm. I think if that race was another 16th of a mile, he'd gone by him and won. He was like really, really rolling at the very end. I mean, he was moving. So for a young horse who's had so little racing to be able to finish so strong really impressed me. So I thought he was at a mile and a quarter. So
well, we will save your thoughts for journalism tomorrow. Maybe we'll get an official whether he's going to run in the Preakness or not. But I think that this is a pretty darn good crop of three-year-olds. Excited to see their performances in particular stakes races and against the older horses the rest of the year. That's for sure.
Well, my figures sort of support that they're at least a good group, and they may develop into a fantastic group. So the future's ahead of them.
All right, you got it, my man. Well, we know there's no Power Pages today because there's no Belmont at Aqueduct and there's no Santa Anita. So you've got kind of an easy day, I would imagine, today. So you can get some of your honeydew list done as well. And we all recovered from, of course, a fantastic weekend here in Las Vegas, and certainly for the Kentucky Derby and the horse racing fans. So there's only one more thing to say until we leave and be back tomorrow morning, God willing, and the creek don't rise. And you're going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.